Rose is your name, but when you poop, it sure don't smell like roses. You're number two, burns the hair in my nose. But we fought hand in paw, now your poop don't stink at all. Now that the air is clear, I'll treasure your front and rear, my sweet rose.
Instantly neutralize poop stink with Poop Fighter from World's Best Cat Litter for the world's best cat.
I'm not exactly a tech genius, but I knew one thing for sure. If I wanted my small business to crush it, I needed a website that worked like a pro, and I needed it yesterday. Lucky for me, Bluehost made it ridiculously easy. With their AI design tools, building my website was a walk in the park. I could customize, optimize, and monetize everything exactly how I wanted. In just a few minutes, I had a secure site up and running. I couldn't believe how straightforward it was. And getting found online? Bluehost helped me with that, too. I perfected my keywords and meta descriptions with their search engine tools. The AI even gave me suggestions to improve my pages. Now I can sit back, relax, and focus on my customers, while my website continues to rank higher and higher on Google. With their 30-day money-back guarantee, I wasn't worried about taking the plunge. And now I'm so glad I did. Head over to Bluehost.com and build something special today.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks for making your way here for checking out the episode. If you're not already, I hope you hit that subscribe button. You'll get new interviews just like this one every single week. Of course, you can grab a Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Please do give the series a rating. Leave a review while you're at it. We've had some great guests drop by lately, including a Finn Wolfhard of Stranger Things fame. He was here just to talk about a little bit of Stranger and the latest movies he's been doing, as well as his first solo album. He's done the music with the bands, and now he's got his new solo album, Happy Birthday. So Finn and I talked about that. We also see Imperial Teen, Rainer Maria, Auli'i Cravalho. You know her as the voice of Moana. She's also in an Apple TV Plus musical feature called Lulu is a Rhinoceros. Let's see. We also talked with Lenny Warrenker, legend of Warner Records. John Densmore, drummer of The Doors. Hannah John Common, she stars as Ghost in Thunderbolts. Gene Simmons of Kiss. Kevin Bacon, Jennifer Nettles of The Righteous Gemstones, Adam Duritz of The Counting Crows. That's what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, it's the Jedi Master, the Clown Prince of Crime, and now the Stephen King Muse, Mr. Mark Hamill. He's played some of the most iconic roles in cinematic history, become one of the most iconic voice actors of all time without anyone recognizing his face. He turned being typecast into a party trick, and while most actors his age are retiring or doing guest spots, he's out there still taking risks, stealing scenes, occasionally scaring the hell out of people. He's not scaring the hell out of people in what we're talking about today, though, and that is the life of Chuck. Mike Flanagan's latest mindbender based on the Stephen King novella, with Mark playing a white-haired accountant waxing poetic about math and the universe, and somehow it's one of the most moving things that you'll see all year. Mark's going to dive into building the character, going full Geppetto on it, mentoring a steam-sealing kid who knits on set, and delivering a monologue so long and thoughtful he nearly begged for cue cards. That's the Mike Flanagan way right there. He also shares what it was like working with Andy Griffith during his cranky ratings are down phase in the early 70s, and the moments young Mark's Bill Cosby dreams were crushed like Alderaan. Somewhere between Jedi wisdom and Broadway, this is a film and an interview that reminds us maybe the Force is real after all. Let's get into this and talk about The Life of Chuck. It's Kyle Meredith with Mark Hamill.
I'm telling you, these press junkets where you know, for 8 hours talk about nothing but the movie and yourself and, brings back memories.
I've always wondered about being on that side, especially in a junket day.
It's work. when they're every 15 minutes, you in your mind before you say something, you say, did I just say that to him, or was that three reporters earlier? So
no points deducted if you repeat yourself today.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, I'll do the one thing I'm sure everyone is doing, is throwing praise upon you for the Life of Chuck here.
You saw it.
I saw it, and I had to message Kate Siegel right afterwards and my compliments to Mike and the entire cast and crew. I said, I hold movies like What Dreams May Come, Robin Williams, Curious Case of Benjamin Button, in like the highest regards, or some of my all-time favorite movies. And right as like 10 minutes into this, I'm like, wow, this is going to be one of those movies.
Wow.
And 2 hours later, I was never let down. This instantly went to one of my favorite things that I've seen in, as long as I can remember.
And she has one of the key moments, I think, when she has that boy's head in her hands, that as much as anything, it really encapsulates what it's all about. I'm like you. I mean, when Mike told me that he was going to do something that he thought I should do with Stephen King, I'm immediately assuming it's going to be the, mind-bendingly supernatural horror epic of all time. And I ordered the book the minute he told me about it, and got it like the next day or in 2 days. So I read the novella in If It Bleeds before I read his script, and I was just stunned, because it was like, as you say, not like unlike anything I'd ever read Stephen King do. And I know Green Mile and The Body and Shawshank Redemption and so forth, he's much more versatile than people give him credit for, but even at that I was unprepared for how the humanity of it and the poignancy and the being able to describe how one little insignificant moment that you wouldn't think of twice could be a pivotal, important part of the overall arc of your lifetime. It's such an affirmation of life and love and hope. It's all these wonderful things. And I thought, how are they going to do this as a screenplay? And when I got Mike's script, I thought, well, thank God he's retained the act three, act two, act one, which is so crucial. I just thought he did a great job. I really did. And since I was so isolated in act one with Mia Sara and Cody Flanagan and Benjamin Pajak, seeing act two and act one was, again, a revelation, because all of these wonderful actors, Chiwetel and Carl Lumley and Tom Hiddleston, I mean, they just, Karen Gillan, I'd only seen her in Guardians of the Galaxy. So it was like seeing these people for the first time. And, I didn't get to work with them, but it was an honor acting near them.
Well, and to echo you too, I mean, when you're telling a story that's, such this personal story of this person, but you're also telling basically the human experience of the entire universe, to be able to pull that off and watching you in it. I mean, the way you carry yourself, you reminded me, I think I wrote down, of the Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Oh, which is funny, because I didn't do this on purpose, but when I sat down with, I have to give a shout out to makeup and hair and wardrobe. Because in the case of Arthur Gordon Pym in House of Usher and in this one, they helped me build the character by understanding what clothes I wore, what glasses I wore. My daughter's informing me who did that because they did both Chuck and Usher. But all I'm saying is, in this case, I said, well, I think my hair should be all white. That's my own hair. It's not a wig. And I had gray in my mustache, which you can see. But I said, that should be all whited out as well and maybe leave some stubble. The last thing I did was I said, let me see glasses. We looked at all these glasses. And I said, oh, these. And I put them on and I looked in the mirror and I said, that's Albie. And it wasn't until, I don't know, 2 or 3 days later, I looked in the mirror and went, oh my God, I'm Geppetto. You mentioned what
Sorcerer's Apprentice, yeah.
Sorcerer's Apprentice, okay. But I thought I resembled the Disney version of Geppetto from
I can
Pinocchio.
see it. I can see it now that you've said it. I can see it. You know, that's.
Maybe I shouldn't put that in people's minds because I don't want to be a distraction.
And we'll be right back right after this. I'm not exactly a tech genius, but I knew one thing for sure. If I wanted my small business to crush it, I needed a website that worked like a pro. And I needed it yesterday. Lucky for me, Bluehost made it ridiculously easy. With their AI design tools, building my website was a walk in the park. I could customize, optimize, and monetize everything exactly how I wanted. In just a few minutes, I had a secure site up and running. I couldn't believe how straightforward it was. And getting found online? Bluehost helped me with that too. I perfected my keywords and meta descriptions with their search engine tools. The AI even gave me suggestions to improve my pages. Now I can sit back, relax, and focus on my customers while my website continues to rank higher and higher on Google. With their 30-day money-back guarantee, I wasn't worried about taking the plunge. And now I'm so glad I did. Head over to Bluehost.com and build something special today.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Mark Hamill.
But what an idyllic little segment. I mean, to live, with the two boys playing my grandson, with me as Sarah, who's just so lovely and kind, and we just bonded instantly, and it was one of those. I was sorry it was over. Benjamin cried on the last day that he worked. It's his first movie, and he's just extraordinary. This kid has a huge career ahead of him. He sings, he dances. One day on set, I saw him knitting. What 12-year-old knows how to knit? Not me. I still don't know how to knit. But I didn't get to see him in The Music Man on Broadway, but I did go online on YouTube. It was him singing "Where Is Love" from Oliver, which is, in the context of the show, poignant and melancholy and yearning and so forth. He gets out there and belts it like it's a 10:30 number in a Broadway show. It's upbeat, it's joyous, and I'm telling you, it's just it never would have I never heard it interpreted that way. But he's fantastic and he's lovely in this movie, just so lovable and perfect.
And you get to be, I mean, you get to be a mentor, probably not the first time, but for this to be someone's first movie, I mean, you've got decades behind you. I mean, what I was looking, I don't know if it was your first role, but Headmasters, the show Headmasters, would be 55 years ago this October. I mean,
Yes.
to bring all that onto a set, for someone like that,
Yeah,
that's.
and that sort of it was sort of an eye opener because I was Headmaster is Andy Griffith, right? He was really cranky that week because he'd gotten the overnights from and it wasn't going well in the ratings. So he was like cantankerous and mean. At one point, he insulted the Beatles, which is sacrilege in my mind.
Back religion,
You know,
yes.
you keep it all to yourself. But that was sort of an eye opener that people's images aren't always as they are. The one that was the hardest, it was the very first job I got, directed by Ivan Dixon. I was finished by lunchtime in one day on the Bill Cosby show. Now, I had collected his albums. I idolized him. Oh, he's such a nice guy. He's Bill Cosby, and I can't wait to meet him. We rehearsed with his stand-in. When it came time to film, he came out imperiously with a big cigar and a minder trailing behind him. He, took his mark, handed the cigar to the person, didn't say hello, didn't introduce himself, didn't say, "Hi, Mark, welcome to the show." Did the lines, and he was, he was the way he was, and cut. Cigar back to the trailer. I was just devastated, and I have four sisters and two brothers who knew I idolized Bill Cosby, and they said, "What was it like meeting him?" And just for my own sake of mine, I just said, "Oh, he's great. It's just, he was just what you wanted him to be." It was such a thrill. I mean, years later, I told him the truth, but I didn't want to even admit to myself how different people can be based on their image in public as to their real selves. It was a real learning curve.
Yeah, and but you were able to take that. Luckily, like you had the right mindsets to learn from
And
that.
I,
And
listen, I didn't badmouth Andy Griffith either. And that one, at least I knew what was troubling him because we did a table read and he was looking at the overnights and it was tanking. They later revamped the whole show mid-season where they called it the new Andy Griffith show and he was, in a he had a wife and kids and it wasn't the same premise at all because Headmaster dealt with issues, like drug abuse, and it was, a dramedy, I guess they called it. But it was a real learning curve. Everything that you do in show business is, a lesson on the way things are, and you just have to deal with it however you can.
and we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Mark Hamill.
Well, I'll bring it back around to this movie too, because I don't want to pass over. You give this incredible speech about time. And I don't know how, like, it's just what you're saying, of course, it's on the page, I'm sure. It's incredible. But, like, did you prepare for that in any certain way? Is that something that you think about a lot? Because, I'm hooked on to every single word while you're doing it.
Well, the first time I worked with Mike, I was mainly exposition because, as the lawyer for the Usher family, I'm investigating all these supernatural occurrences. And so I'm laying out timelines and photographs of people. It was very difficult to memorize because it wasn't connected like a message or a speech I'm trying to give. And at the time, the actor playing Roderick was using one of those earpieces where they say your line, you wait, and then say it. I said, I'm keep those people around. I'm going to have a session with them to see if I can use it. And within a minute or two, I said, okay, I get it. This is a skill unto itself that I probably could learn if I had the time, but it's just unnatural. To me, it went against everything I believe in terms of listening to what the other people are saying. I tell young students, acting isn't just your performance, it's relating and listening to what the other person is saying. So that I discarded that immediately. With this speech in The Life of Chuck, I thought, oh no, it's like 3.5 pages long and it's all about math, which is not my strong suit in school anywhere. It's one of my weaker points. But the fact that he was so passionate about his love of math, you look in the sky, it's the greatest equation, the stars are the greatest equation. It told me exactly who he was, because ordinarily he seems like a fairly dull accountant who's devoted to his wife and grandchildren and maybe drinks a little too much, but everything I needed to know about him was in that speech, and I worked on it every single day. I'd get up in the morning, I'd read it out loud, I'd try and find links, because it's free association. There's no real through line. There's no people interrupting and asking a question where you listen to what they say and then you respond. So it was really scary. I thought, oh gosh, I wonder if I should give them a heads up for teleprompter or cue cards, but like I say, I would put it aside, then usually go back to it around lunchtime, and last thing before I'd go to bed, I would, and little by little, okay, I got the first four lines dead, but there's now 250 more or whatever it was. So it was terrifying, but Luckily, I had the script early enough that when I arrived on set, on the very first take, I think I got, I made, did I mess up once? The first take was perfect. It was after I made a couple of mistakes, but it was such a relief. And I'm sure the crew was relieved because they could be like, oh God, we're going to be here all day with this speech. Those speeches are notorious. He loves writing long, long speeches. My daughter's saying that Mike started out as an editor, and that might have been, yeah, it's got to be very informative. But I mean, as wonderful a director is, I don't think he gets the credit for what a great writer he is. In fact, in this speech, I told him when I saw it, the first time I saw it was at his house in a little screening room. One of the reasons I realized he'd cut anything was there was one transition that was really hard for me. I was talking about the positives of being good with math. You could go out to dinner and you could figure out how much cost for everybody to eat, and it's good for your brain. I couldn't make that switch. I'd get stuck there, and I thought, oh, I know. I wrote one word in the margin of the script, which I could see because I'll do little cartoons, sometimes puns. The worse, the better, because you remember a horrible pun better, to maybe remember things. So between those two lines, I wrote in big dark letters, zombie, eat brains. So, and because those lines are cut, and because I remember how hard I was having memorizing it, I realized it was cut. And I was disappointed, not because of my performance, because every word he wrote is perfection. And I haven't compared it to the script. I don't know if I'll ever do that. And I trusted him implicitly. If he thought it should go, it should go. But it wasn't until we saw it with a live audience at the Toronto Film Festival that I realized this is maybe once or twice in a lifetime kind of experience because the audience was with it from the get-go. They laughed at the right times. There was applause throughout. And when the lights went up, I saw people with tears in their eyes. It's just so special. I said, the problem for me is I don't know how to promote this thing. And I told Trevor Macy, the producer, and Mike, I said, I'm going to be horrible on the promotional trail because how do you describe the indescribable? All I'm going to be able to say is, trust me on this one. Just go see it. You'll thank me later. Well, that's not good enough. People want clips of car chases and, Tom Cruise doing backflips off of helicopters. And we don't have that. But I think that our strong suit will be word of mouth. Just like, like you said, Kyle, that how it affected you, multiply that by many, 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 hopefully hundreds of thousands of Kyles because, that's what's going to do it for us. And so far, I think Neon has done an incredible job with promotion. One of the things I love there on Sunset Boulevard, my daughter took a picture and it says, "Thanks for 39 great years, Chuck." And just like in the movie, people are driving by going, "Who the hell is Chuck? What is this?" And so life imitates art. And they did skywriting somewhere. Thanks, Chuck. Whatever. They've done a great job of not, because I really am resistant to describing specific moments. Like I brought up that moment with Kate with Benjamin's head in his hands. You wouldn't want to tell that to someone who hadn't seen it because part of it is the discovery on your own of what this movie does to you. It's like, I don't know. It's just perfectly timed because we're so divided and there's such anger and fear in this country over politics and so forth. This movie, I hope, can be almost therapeutic to reassure people that everything's going to be okay. You've got to believe in the inherent goodness of human beings or there's no reason to go on. And this is just a reaffirmation of life in a way that doesn't shove it in your face, but lets you accept it on your own terms and to whatever level you want to take it. It's fantastic. I loved it. I said, it's like when I told George, I said, I love the idea of the Force so much because it's spiritual, especially when Yoda came on the scene. It's spiritual in a way that doesn't make people feel uncomfortable. You know, people get antsy when you talk about religion, but each audience member is going to be able to accept the concept of the Force on their own terms. And that's the genius of that, that you don't hit them over the head with religion, but let them accept it on their own terms. And I think this movie, I think The Life of Chuck really does a great job of that.
I completely agree with you. It is a beautiful, beautiful movie that I'll be watching a few times, and I really mean that. Mark, thank you so much for taking the time to talk about it. I'd so appreciate it. It's been such a pleasure.
My pleasure. Thank you, Kyle.
Right. Enjoy your next 15 minutes.
Okay.
And my thanks to Mark Hamill, The Life of Chuck. Run to see it. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button before you get out of here so you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out every single week. You can grab a Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Please do give the series a rating and leave a review while you're at it. After that, you can head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. You get 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music, bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. In fact, one of my recent episodes features some classics and favorites from Tom Waits, Tom Petty, Valerie June, Chris Cornell, Cat Stevens, Counting Crows, Ann Peebles, Dave Matthews Band, Pearl Jam, Jane Birkin, and my interview with Brandi Carlile. That's what you can hear weeknights starting 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Okay.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
I'm not exactly a tech genius, but I knew one thing for sure. If I wanted my small business to crush it, I needed a website that worked like a pro, and I needed it yesterday. Lucky for me, Bluehost made it ridiculously easy. With their AI design tools, building my website was a walk in the park. I could customize, optimize, and monetize everything exactly how I wanted. In just a few minutes, I had a secure site up and running. I couldn't believe how straightforward it was. And getting found online? Bluehost helped me with that, too. I perfected my keywords and meta descriptions with their search engine tools. The AI even gave me suggestions to improve my pages. Now I can sit back, relax, and focus on my customers while my website continues to rank higher and higher on Google. With their 30-day money-back guarantee, I wasn't worried about taking the plunge. And now I'm so glad I did. Head over to Bluehost.com and build something special today.